Chapter 1. March 1838, Lilstock Priory, Somerset. Thomas rode out through the gates with the sun glistening on the frosted grass and sparkling in the dewdrops decorating the still bare branches. His horse was a pale grey he'd bought some months previously, when travelling with Roland on one of his visits to the abbey. Their route had taken them through Bridgewater, and he'd found the dappled grey there. The gelding was mature, strong, very much up to his weight, but also steady, a necessity given Thomas's physical limitations. He could no longer be certain of applying sufficient force with his knees to manage the horse in stressful situations. Silver, the novices had named him, was beyond getting stressed. If he didn't like something, he simply stopped, which, in the circumstances, was entirely acceptable to Thomas, who harboured no wish whatever to be thrown. His bones already had enough fractures for 5 lifetimes. As Thomas rode down the road toward Bridgewater, he instinctively assessed his aches and pains. He would always have them, but, in general, they had sunk to a level he could ignore. That, or his senses had grown dulled, his nerves inured to the constant abrading. He'd ridden daily over the last month in preparation for this journey, building up his strength and reassuring himself that he could, indeed, ride for the 4 or 5 days required to reach his destination. The first crest in the road drew near, and a sense of leaving something precious behind tugged, insistently. Drawing rein on the rise, he wheeled Silver and looked back. The priory sat, grey stone walls sunk into the green of the headland grasses, with the blue sky and the pewter of the channel beyond. He looked, and remembered all the hours he'd spent, with Roland, with Geoffrey, with all the other monks who had accepted him without question or judgment. They, more than he, had given him this chance, to go forth and complete his penance, and so find ultimate peace. Courtesy of Drayton, he had money in his pocket, and in his saddlebags he had everything he would need to reach his chosen abode and settle in. He was finally doing it, taking the first step along the road to find his fate, in effect, surrendering himself to fate, freely giving himself up to whatever lay in wait. Thomas stared at the walls of the priory for a moment more, then, turning Silver, he rode on. His way lay via Taunton, a place of memories, and of people who might, despite the disfigurement of his injuries, recognize him. He rode straight through and on, spending the night at the small village of Waterloo Cross before rising with the sun and continuing west. Late in the afternoon on the 4th day after he'd ridden out from the priory, he arrived at Brague Manor. He'd ridden through Helston and out along the road to Penzance, then had turned south along the lane that led toward the cliffs. The entrance to the drive was unremarkable. A simple gravel avenue, it wended between stunted trees, then across a short stretch of rising open ground to end before the front door. He'd bought the property years ago entirely on a whim. It had appealed to him, and for once in his life he'd given in to impulse and purchased it, a simple but sound gentleman's residence in the depths of Cornwall. In all his 42 years, it was the only house he'd personally owned, the only place he could imagine calling home. A solid but unimaginative rectangular block, constructed of local bricks in muted shades of red, ochre, and yellow, the house consisted of 2 stories plus dormers beneath a lead roof. The windows of the main rooms looked south, over the cliffs, to the sea. As he walked Silver up the drive, Thomas scanned the house and found it the same as his memories had painted it. He hadn't been back in years, many more than the 5 years he'd spent in the priory. The Gattings, the couple he'd installed as caretaker and housekeeper, had clearly continued to look after the house as if it were their own. The glass in the windows gleamed, the front steps were swept, and even from a distance the brass knocker gleamed. Thomas halted Silver at the point where the track to the stable met the drive, but then, in deference to the old couple, who he hadn't informed of his impending arrival, he urged Silver nearer to the front steps and dismounted. Despite the damage to the left side of his face and his other injuries, the Gattings would recognize him, but he didn't need to shock them by walking unheralded through the back door, or clumping, as the case would be. Retrieving his cane from the saddle holder that the stable master at the priory had fashioned for it, then releasing Silver's reins, Thomas watched as the big grey ambled a few steps off the drive and bent his head to crop the rough grass. Satisfied the horse wouldn't stray much further, Thomas headed for the front door. Gaining the small front porch, he was aware of tiredness dragging at his limbs, hardly surprising given the distance he'd ridden, combined with the additional physical effort of having to cope with his injuries. But he was finally there, the only place he considered home, and now he could rest, at least until fate found him.